AC, what's happening, my brother?
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Doing all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Feeling yappy today?
Are you feeling yappy, huh?
The Yaps, the island of Yaps. That was a new one for me.
Before this story, I had never heard of this.
I know. It sounded hard to believe.
It's pretty far out.
Apparently, it's next to Palau.
So this is the South Pacific?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the only thing I know about Palau is supposed to be great diving and amazing beaches.
Okay.
For super rich people.
Right. Like a lot of those islands down. They're kind of hard to get to. They're quite remote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the island of Yap, I think they call them Yapanese, which
Yapanese.
Doesn't sound right. I had to really check
Are
that.
Are you sure about that?
I saw it.
Sounds like a joke.
That's what the internet
Interesting.
Says.
Interesting.
So I believe it.
Okay. Yeah, if it says it on the internet, it must be true.
Yeah. the Japanese they discovered this limestone in the neighboring island, which is not that close.
Yeah,
of Palau.
Now they didn't have this type of stone on their own island.
No, and I think that's what made it
valuable.
Right, yeah. It's rare.
Yeah, it's a rarity. Yeah. And I would imagine it's quite hard to get back over to. Their own island.
I know,
especially
bamboo,
in those days.
Bamboo boats. They're carrying these 8,000-pound stones.
Wow. Sounds quite dangerous, actually.
Yeah. So apparently, sometime in the early 20th century, I think there was an American who somehow was over in the South Pacific.
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably had access to mining gear and better ships.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So he was able to get loads of this limestone over to Yap.
Oh.
And, you know, he's probably getting some worth way more than limestone in exchange.
Right.
I can't remember. But that sunk the market in...
that would make sense.
But actually what they did was they started valuing the pre-American limestone money. Over.
More.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is the stuff that guy brought over.
it's not quite as,
yeah,
as valuable. Interesting. Well, what gets me about this story is... It's like how it's not something you can actually pick up and give to someone in exchange. You have to keep track of it all in your head.
Right.
And that would seem to be pretty difficult. I mean,
right.
A lot of people can't even keep track of money they have in their pocket, much less.
But this is so big. It's almost like trading a house or property. It's like, okay, everybody knows.
So this is all for like big purchase, big ticket items, basically.
Everybody knows that the king owns this land over here.
Yeah,
I think of it as something like that.
I see.
I mean, I wonder if regular Japanese, if they own the stone money or if it was just the rich guys that had the giant stones.
I wonder if their language is called Japanese.
Japanese, yeah.
Because it rhymes with Japanese. And
that's
so,
right.
I mean, there's probably a lot of...
That's why it sounds fake, but it's not fake, people.
We read it on the internet.
This is the real deal. Yeah, but the best part is the story about the Japanese sailors that lost one of these massive stones.
Oh, right. If
they go back
the bottom,
and everybody says, well, you know, we believe you.
Yeah.
So why can't we use that as money?
Yeah.
We just, okay, you own it.
That's
you can
the one
sell
at the bottom
to,
of the ocean.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much how we use money these days.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot different, is it?
I mean, yeah, we still use cash, but more and more cash is going away.
Right.
And it's all just ones and zeros. It's just credit, you know, numbers moving from bank account to bank account. It's not like these banks are actually, okay, let's fill this suitcase and send the cash
it's not
over.
It's a physical thing anymore.
So the way the Yaps... It sounds wrong calling them Yaps. I feel like I'm denigrating somehow. But the way they thought of it as something so abstract, but at the same time it was this massive concrete or stone.
Yeah. Well, they pegged it to these large objects.
Yeah.
Valuable.
Yeah. So apparently, you know, they don't use them for transactions anymore, but people still own them to
this
day.
Are they worth something to this day, I wonder?
Well, I think they're worth something in museums.
Yeah.
And they've made it illegal to send them out of the country because I think so many museums and collectors have bought them up. And that's their heritage.
Yeah, I'd like to see a picture of one.
Just check out the cover of Fast Fluency Formula.
There we go.
March.
Poor audio.
Yeah. But you know, the other story, the starter story this month was about the new 5-pound note.
Right, it had traces of animal fat in
yeah.
it. Was it animal
yeah.
fat? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, the reason why some people say that this is actually a great new invention is that it doesn't use any paper.
Right.
And,
yeah. Right.
So you don't have to cut down any trees.
Yeah.
And
so it's better for the environment.
It's really durable. Apparently, yeah. you can put it through a washing machine and it'll be fine.
It doesn't ruin it, right?
And a lot of cash gets involved in the drug business.
Oh, right.
And it picks up drugs.
Right.
And apparently, this kind of synthetic paper doesn't.
Uh-huh.
So the inventor was saying, you know, this is crazy to focus on this minuscule amount of animal
right.
product
right.
in it when we have this great new thing that's
right.
so much better.
Right. But if you're an animal lover who really cares about animals, it's not so trivial, is it?
Yeah. You know, I care about animals, but I don't know. You got to look at the big picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the same boat as you. Yeah. We're in a boat, Dan. Haven't you realized? A very large boat floating through the universe.
Planet Earth.
That's right. But, no, I mean, I can see how some people, you know, they have very strict moral principles, and something like this might set them off.
Right.
You know?
You know, I thought it was kind of funny, the people saying, you know, it's not like you got to eat the money.
Right.
but they did have a good point when they brought in the religious aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how that could bother people for sure.
Sure.
And, you know, we don't think about we you know, sometimes people have this image of the UK being, you know, lily white.
Right.
But, you know,
oh,
there's
it's
a
very
lot of
multicultural. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Especially nowadays and after the EU.
Yeah.
Sure.
And there's a big Hindu population. That's the one thing I loved about going to England was the great
All the Indian food.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the British food, yuck.
Yeah. But these days, British food is quite good.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, no, it is. It's changing.
Name one good
it's
thing.
It's changing. You go to like a pub these days.
Uh-huh. What, fish and chips?
No, that's like traditional. But I mean, nowadays they have these gastro pubs where the food, you know, like when we go to a Japanese izakaya, there's all kinds of little like tasty things that we can order. There's a whole wide range of stuff. It's the same in British pubs these days. That's what my British friends tell me.
Hmm.
But I may try to go there this year, and I'll let you know.
All right.
Okay. So don't knock British food.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Just when you're not around.
But there's also a growing Muslim population. Especially in like Northern England and certain...
right. Huge Pakistani population.
That's right. Yeah.
I think in London.
So I bet that's altered the food landscape a bit there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I bet it's a great place to go to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
Expensive though. I think you need a lot more than 5 pounds to. Would that even buy you a beer in England?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But. So we talked about vegans and vegetarians and the Japanese.
Yeah.
And then we talked about the how. Money can correlate to happiness,
right?
But only to a certain point.
Only to a certain point, right? Actually, they've correlated income with reported levels of happiness. This is not like someone externally measuring, you know, your happiness. They're asking you how happy you are on a scale of whatever the scale is,
right.
And that went up as with income in correlated up until about $75,000 per year income.
Right.
And after that point, there no longer was a correlation. People did not report higher levels of happiness beyond that dollar amount.
And that matches up with the experiences of a lot of lottery winners.
Uh-huh.
They don't, I mean, some do, but a lot of them don't report being any happier.
No, there's an initial period of excitement, and then that turns to stress, and then it just invites problems, trouble.
Right.
People are relationships and
people are after their money.
Sure, absolutely.
Gold diggers.
They're out there, Dan.
Yep.
They're out there. Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, they say $75,000. I wonder what part of the U.S. they were talking about, because
it makes a big difference, right? You know, if you're in a big city like San Francisco or New York City or Washington, D.C. or...
I mean, if you're in Iowa, you probably need a lot less than $75,000 to be happy.
Yeah.
You probably live pretty well on 40.
Yeah. Yeah. But 75,000 in New York
City.
San Francisco, man, you're struggling.
I read an article a couple days ago about all of these Facebook employees making $160,000.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying they can't afford to buy a house in the area. It's just the most expensive real estate in the U.S.
Yeah.
Though I imagine they're pretty bad at managing their money if you're complaining and you're making $160,000.
Well, a lot of it's relative. You know, you just compare, your scale of comparison is just skewed by your perspective.
And
you
just get used to whatever you have.
To it, that's right. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I remember when I bought this TV here in, And I remember looking at all the different specs and wanting to get the best, you know, most technologically advanced thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice the first couple of days, and then it's just my regular
just
TV.
Yeah. You get used to it.
So, I that bit about the, the Harvard research looking into people's reported happiness from buying things. I totally get that.
Yeah.
It just becomes your new normal, your new set point.
Right.
Have you ever bought anything that really made a difference in your happiness levels?
No.
Well, no. You didn't even think about it.
I have thought about that before. I just don't equate that with happiness. I mean, for me, happiness is internal. It's just your outlook on
what
life.
About those hamsters?
Those hamsters.
Those brought you a lot. See,
now some things might bring me unhappiness.
But actually, let's just imagine that the hamsters were the love
of your
life.
They weren't hamsters, Dan. They were guinea pigs.
Oh, come on. It's the same thing.
No, it's not the same
thing.
Stop
trying to trick the people.
It's not the same thing.
It's a myth.
The guinea pig is a much
larger cousin.
They're
both delicious. Yeah. They're both delicious, and that's what counts. I was thinking about that. It gets a little tricky when you try to distinguish. I mean, some purchases do become, experiences. So that was the two trade-off.
Yes.
It's,
experiences
create memories and they create connections between the people you share the experiences and those make you happier than buying objects.
Yeah.
But some objects, of course, turn in like, even something very materialistic like, say some sports car.
Yeah.
I don't think that would make me that happy, but I think for some people, like our friend John, he loves buying these flashy cars.
Right.
And I think he enjoys that on a daily basis.
Sure.
He likes showing off and everybody sees it.
Sure, and
flashy
it's something
John.
To talk about, and it's a feeling that he gets and Yeah, I mean, I suppose.
Or a house. I mean, that's a place where you are having constant experiences with your family.
Yeah, and would probably be my answer then. You know, I bought a house. But actually, the thing that has added a lot of value to my happiness levels over the past, 10 years or so is something that is free.
What's that?
Skype. And the reason I say Skype is you can download it and you can talk to people, video conversations for free. And as a someone living outside their country, as an expatriate, I don't get to talk to my family that often. I don't get to see my family. And now that I have kids, I can speak. My children can speak with their grandparents anytime. I've been able to carry on a relationship with my parents face to face every week. We talk, and that's added a great deal of value because we live so far apart. I don't know how my life would be different if without that tool. And it, I would have paid quite a bit of money for that service had they charged money for that.
But it's free.
It's always been free.
Which means it has no value. You can't peg it to a dollar
or
a Japanese stone.
It is a very valuable tool.
Yeah, but some people do peg their happiness to numbers, to money, mm-hmm. to dollars.
Yeah, true.
I remember our friend Barbara was telling me once about her niece's father-in-law. So okay. She's talking to this guy from Long Island, mm-hmm. and they're talking about success. And she says to him, "Well, I mean, it depends on how you gauge success. What
right.
success means." And he looked at her like she was crazy, and he was like, "Well, of course, whoever has the most money, that's what success is." I was listening to this Tony Robbins interview uh-huh. earlier today, and he was talking about this German guy who was worth like $9 billion, had okay. all different kinds of companies from okay. pharmaceuticals to different industries.
Right.
And he was shorting some other company. So
okay.
he was betting against
yeah.
Some other company, and that company turned out to do really well. And he had some like incredible amount of money, like $9 billion,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't have the money liquid. So he wasn't able to cover this bet
okay.
that he had placed against yeah. this other company. It just meant he was going to have to lose some of his companies.
Sure.
I think his wealth went from 9 billion to like 4 billion.
Okay.
So he's still,
still a billionaire,
but very
not
rich.
As much of a billionaire as he
and,
was.
And he committed suicide.
That just seems crazy, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Totally crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, his whole, he at that time, he apparently was the richest man in Germany.
Uh-huh.
Or the second richest man in Germany.
Yeah.
And then he went to being the seventh richest man in Germany, and that wasn't good enough for him.
Wow. How sad.
Yeah, very sad.
Jeez.
And when I was researching some of these stories, lottery winners, some of them were just so depressing.
Oh, right.
Some of them I just couldn't write about them because uh-huh. it was just such a downer.
Yeah.
But let me tell you about one.
Now that we're at it, go ahead.
There's this one guy, Jack Whitaker, uh-huh. and he was already a millionaire, but
he was already a millionaire.
He was a minor millionaire. He had like a construction business and he was worth like $2 or $3 million.
Okay.
And he was living somewhere like a really poor part of the U.S., like uh-huh. West Virginia maybe. But he had a successful construction business, and he won this, multi-state Powerball that was, I think he won over $100 million.
Whoa.
And so he went from having like $3 million to like $150
million. Wow. Overnight.
Yeah. And he immediately gave 10% of it to three churches.
Uh-huh.
And he set up all these foundations and charities. And he did all the stuff that,
yeah.
this research says, should make you happy.
Yeah.
But not with all of it.
Yeah.
He... The light of his life was his granddaughter, who mm-hmm. was a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And he just started showering her with money. He would give her $5,000
That's
in cash
good.
Every
yeah.
day.
Oh, no.
And apparently her car was just littered with like 20s and 10s and all the small money that she just couldn't bother with.
Yeah.
Just all over her floor.
Yeah.
And, his granddaughter started getting involved in drugs and started attracting all these kids that were after her money.
Oh no.
And, fast forward 2 years later, she dies of a drug overdose.
Mm.
He loses his wife. He's robbed multiple times. He's still super rich, but obviously
it didn't bring him any happiness.
Very unhappy.
It? Yeah.
And it's a very common thing hearing
yeah.
lottery winners saying they wish they never won.
Yeah.
Which, was the case with that silly story of Jane Parks.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. She tried to sue the...
Well, she was considering suing. And I think she got such a backlash in Britain that she backed off.
Yeah, that seems quite insane to me.
And, you know, she's like 21 now. I think she won when she was 17. Oh, I see. And she says that 17-year-olds aren't mature now. I mean, obviously 21-year-olds aren't either.
Yeah, right. Well, when it comes to large sums of money, I mean, how many people really can handle that kind of drastic change? I mean... If I were to win the lottery, I mean, it would seem to me that the smartest thing to do is not tell a soul about it, stay totally quiet about it.
And just like take baths in it, just take showers and money in secret.
What would you do with it? Like, what would you have? I mean, how could you? I mean, we keep quiet for like 5 years and then
why would
slowly
you
start using it. I don't know. Like, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do if that. I mean, because it would change people's relationship.
Well, apparently, a lot of lottery winners, at least in the U.S., they don't quit their jobs.
Yeah, they keep working.
They keep working.
Most of them. Yeah,
which might not be what I do, but I can see how it's probably good for you.
Yeah. You maintain some normalcy. You can continue. Being part of a group of people that are doing things.
Right.
And yeah, that seems pretty healthy.
I'd like to keep Deep English going.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I just would like to have somebody else doing a little bit more of the work instead of us. But on that note, folks, we have lots to do, lots more lessons to create.
That we do.
Let's wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up. We'll see you next month.
All right, see ya.